Oh my
You
God.
know, it's these silly little stories which
Yeah.
a lot of people don't know about. And every time she visited poor people, it's been recorded that she offered apprenticeships to the children of those poor families. And it wasn't just boys, it was also for girls.
The Tudors Dynasty Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hello and welcome to Tudor's Dynasty Podcast. I'm Heather Darcy, author of Anna, Duchess of Cleves, The King's Beloved Sister, and Children of the House of Cleves, Anna and Her Siblings, and that will be out this summer in the UK and in the autumn in the US. I am joined today by Peter Stiffel. Peter, welcome. It's so nice to have you.
Thank you so much. No, it's an honor to be here. It really is.
So what can you tell us about yourself?
So I'm Peter Stiffel. I'm studying a PhD at the University of Kent. And I studied the iconography of Queen Mary I, daughter of Henry VIII, our first Queen Regnant.
Fascinating. And what is iconography?
So a simple definition is it's the study of the symbolism. And because obviously, as we all know, in the 16th century, it wasn't just a portrait, or it just wasn't a painting. Everything meant something, whether it was the jewels you wore or the clothes you wore, or any objects in that painting. So I study that. I study what is Mary portraying in these portraits of her, or those portraits which were made from her or after her, and so forth.
So how she's presenting herself to the world through images.
Exactly, in paintings, coins, medals, windows, charters, the lot.
Why Mary the First?
I've always been fascinated by her. You know, we always hear this story of Bloody Mary. She was the evil, evil sister of Elizabeth the First. When really, once you start learning about history, she's not this evil monster. She's a woman very much of her time, a very strong woman. You know, her mother was Catherine of Aragon. Her grandmother, Isabel of Castile. These are women you do not mess with. Very powerful women, especially in the patriarchal society they were at the time. You know, they had to work out a way, how do you present female power in a time when it was unnatural? And all of the great things we know of Elizabeth, you know, the Tilbury speech and the whole mother of my people, virgin mother. Well, actually, she learned that from her sister, because Mary used the same sort of speeches, the same rhetoric, the same iconography before.
So do you believe that, or is there visual evidence that Elizabeth I patterned a lot of her, at least her early iconography, off of what Mary did?
When I say evidence, it's, you know, it's obviously, you can never prove that Elizabeth copied her sister, but
sure.
It's, you can definitely see that she's been inspired, especially with the whole virgin queen, mother to her people. You know, if we compare the Tilbury speech to Mary's speech after Wyatt's Rebellion, or during Wyatt's Rebellion, which was in 1554, just before her marriage, they're very, very similar. The whole, I am married to the realm, I am the mother of my people. And you do wonder, was Elizabeth, or at least those who inspired her speech, were inspired by Mary's earlier one? You know, perhaps.
Are there any particular types of iconography, and by types of iconography, I mean charters or portraits, that you focus on during your research?
My project's quite ambitious, actually. It's because obviously a lot of, I mean, Marian scholars and Tudor historians as a whole will be very famous of the very famous Antonio Small portrait, which is in the Museo de Prada in Spain. Maybe they know Hans Ewef's portrait in the Society of Antiquaries, where she's wearing that lovely golden dress. In terms of charters, a lot of us know of the first charter she was in, the Michaelmas 1553, again, maybe by Lavina Turlington, where she's wearing that golden dress and the angels above her side. And then some people may also know of the portrait of her when she's married to Philip of Spain. And there's this reversal of, you know, he's on the dominant side, she's on the not dominant side. Well, that's not the whole picture. It's a very complex, very exciting, actually, looking at all these charters. So I look at all of these, as many charts as I can possibly look at. So it's not just the rolls on the King's Bench, which was a legal court in England. It's other charters, land charters, letters patents, appointments, and as well seals, coins, medals. So I'm looking at anything that has an image of Mary or a symbol of Mary. What does that show? Because obviously, a lot of us, we see these pretty paintings, we see these charters. Not everyone would have seen them. It's a very select audience. The paintings, only aristocracy would have seen them. Or if you were visited an aristocrat. Charters, it was only, those in the law, the solicitors, lawyers, judges, those who worked in those courts would have seen them. And obviously the people involved with those procedures. Coins and medals obviously are more public audience. So, the most common image of the monarch would be the coin. I mean, it still is the coin. That's where people are going to see their queen or monarch as a whole. So the coinage is very, very important in how Mary and all other monarchs portray themselves. This is how they portray themselves to their people. So yeah, I think I'm currently on about over 300 images of her, which
Oh,
is a
wow.
lot more than I did not expect this many, because
Wow.
I came into this thinking, oh, there may be 10, 20 images of her. No, that's a lot.
What have been some of the more surprising images that you've seen?
Oh, it's honestly, it's remarkable that, just so many. I guess a couple of them, the coins. I knew some of the coins, but others, it's, what is going on?
So
So we
after her
have.
marriage, she did start issuing currency showing both Philip and Mary.
Yes.
Okay.
So, but it's not that simple.
Okay. Tell me
So,
more about the
yes.
coins. I'm
Yeah,
very
so.
interested. Well,
Right.
and you just had a change in your currency because you now have King Charles III. So this is very interesting to see a change in Tudor
Yes.
currency. So tell me more
Yes.
about the
No.
coins.
Let's talk about the coins. So the first coin in Mary's reign is 1553 to 1554. I'll show, well, Heather, I'm sure you'll show everyone this later.
Yes.
So this is a silver groat. So it's 4 old pence. So it's, the coin most people would have held or had access to. As you can see, Mary's on her own because she's unmarried at this point. She's not wearing a partlet. So again, showing her virginity.
And if I
She's
can describe
wearing.
the coin a little bit more, it
Yeah,
also
please
shows her
do.
with very striking facial features. And for my American friends, her hair's down, which that goes back to what Peter's saying about her showing her virginity. And she has a little crown on her, well, not a little, but she has a crown on her head that has crosses and fleurs-de-lis. And she's facing, as you're looking at the coin, she's facing to the left.
She's also wearing a pearl necklace with a cross, which may, it might be the same necklace as the one portrayed in her portraits. We can obviously never prove that. She's also wearing pearl earrings. So it's all about that virginity, how she's a pure woman. She's not tainted by sin. She's not tainted by corruption, anything. I always feel that she's very Roman in this image.
Yes,
She
I'd
looks like
agree.
a Roman empress,
Yes. And the pearls
the
are
opera.
the, is that what symbolizes virginity?
Yes, it's one of the symbols of that. It's all about how pure she is, And again, we have to remember she was the Catholic savior for all Catholics in England after Edward and the Reformation. So obviously the front of the coin, so the obverse, says who she is. She's Maria Regina, Queen of England. And then the reverse, which is the back of the coin, has the English coat of arms, and it has her motto, Veritas Temporis Filia.
And
Truth
just
is the
as,
daughter of time.
I'm sorry I interrupted you. Just as a
That's
reminder to our American friends, the coat of arms for England, it has the three fleurs-de-lis in the top left and bottom right, and then the three lions in the top right and bottom left.
So that this is the coin most people would have seen. So this is the image a lot of, ordinary Tudors would have had of Mary, because obviously very few people actually saw her or any of the monarchs in person. However, after she marries Philip in 1554, you notice it's another, it's a new silver groat which has been made. On the, when you first look at it, oh, nothing's changed, but it's still just Mary. But the facial feature does look more lifelike, maybe a little bit older.
Absolutely. And the crown's much larger.
Exactly, a lot larger, but Philip's name is included on the front.
Oh, I
So it's
see.
now, you see, Philip and Mary, and
Yes.
then it says Queen of King, of England, France, and Spain.
And it
And
looks
then the
like an
reverse
imperial
has,
crown, maybe?
it's the same crown as what she was already wearing,
Okay.
but it is a lot, it is a larger crown, which I've actually never noticed that before. So thank you for
Yeah,
that.
to me it looks like an imperial crown for whatever that's worth. The first image you showed me, it didn't look like an imperial crown because I feel like there's an arch with a cross at the top on this one. So
No,
great.
exactly. And then obviously the back of the coin has their joint motto, we have made God our helper, which obviously, they were a joint couple, they were a married partnership.
And it still shows
However,
just the arms of England too, right?
exactly, yeah, for now.
Oh.
However, there were other coins which didn't exactly do that. So if we look at this silver sixpence, for example, so it's six penny, so it's a larger denomination. They're both now present on the coin.
Yes.
Mary on the right, Philip on the left.
And that shows her in the
And
subservient position, correct?
well, this is the thing. Normally you would say, oh yes, that's her in the subservient position because she's on the right. But if we compare this coin to Ferdinand and Isabella, Mary and Isabella are on the same side.
So I know we don't have a way of knowing this, but is it possible that she was hearkening back to her Spanish heritage when creating this coin?
Definitely.
And
There is,
also
there's no
Philip's
shadow of a doubt.
heritage. Yeah, Philip's heritage too.
Exactly. Because we do, well, there is a reference that the medallist and Habsburg's courtsman, D'Atrezzo, who was an Italian, he was, Jacopo D'Atrezzo is normally seen as one of the medallists. There's famous medals of Mary and Philip, and he's primarily deals with those medals. But he also did design coinage, and there is a reference of him talking to the Duke of de Granville and saying that he's been sent to England to make designs for English coins. So he obviously knows about Isabel and Ferdinand and, Philip and the whole Habsburg iconography. So he's obviously bought, he's, if we can prove that he did make this later coinage, which it is quite certain that he did, or at least helped in the process, he's certainly inspired by Isabel and Ferdinand here.
Is it
But what
possible
obviously,
that the imperial crown that we see in the second, the 1554 groat, where it shows more natural facial features, and then also that first 1554 coin where it's both Philip and Mary, is that imperial crown perhaps a nod to Mary basically being, well, not basically, but Mary is now in fact a Habsburg bride and part of the Habsburg Empire?
yes and no, because obviously we have to remember the imperial crown is very much an English thing after Henry's break with Rome, which is, again, there's a difference between the imperial crown and an open crown. The imperial crown's very closed, so it's showing your independence from the papacy and your freedom, whereas an open crown's normally saying that you're still a servant to the papacy, you're still a servant to Pope, and obviously, into God.
To follow up, perhaps it's just a reminder to her people then that see this coin that just because she has a foreign husband doesn't mean that they're subservient to him.
Exactly. If anything, they're on equal basis, but in England, she is the dominant partner. As we all know, Ferdinand and Isabella, who was really in, who was the dominant partner in that relationship? Isabella. So the fact that Mary and Isabella are on the same side on the coins, it does sort, I mean, to me, it does suggest that it's, yes, okay, we'll include Philip on these coins, but he's not in charge of England.
So this seems
Also,
like a very different portrayal than what we've had before, because I think that I know I personally I you know I'm more of a Tudor adjacent historian than a Tudor historian, but when I think of Mary, I think of her as giving up some of her power to Philip, and also on these coins, when I've looked at them, to me she was giving up some of her power, but that's not what's happening.
it's completely false. And even on some of these, the sixpence and the shillings, she's always portrayed higher than Philip.
Oh.
So she, yeah, not all of them. It is, it's, but some of them she is portrayed higher. But if we also compare her coin to Joanna and Charles V, well, Charles V is in the same position as Mary and Isabella.
And that's her niece and nephew.
That's her aunt and nephew.
Her
Yeah, so
aunt.
this is
Okay,
Charles
sorry,
V,
excuse me.
Holy Roman Emperor.
Yes,
Her
that's
father,
right.
well, her cousin and father-in-law,
Yes.
as with all these Habsburgs. But obviously he was, he was seen as the real ruler of, well, I'll say Spain, but obviously Castile, Aragon, and those territories.
Because he
Whereas
stole it from
Joanna,
his mother.
he and his grandfather stole it from his mother. Yes,
Yes.
Joanna, and the fact that Joanna's on the, the side of Philip and Ferdinand, it does sort of suggest that our whole idea of the dominant side is not the same as what Spain sees it as, because Charles,
Yes.
Isabella, and Mary are all on the same side,
Yes.
all on the left, on the right, sorry.
So Isabella, again,
So
just
yes.
to sum it up, Isabella is Mary's grandmother, and she's the queen of Spain, one of the Catholic monarchs. And then there's Joanna, or Juana the Mad, who is Catherine of Aragon's sister and Mary's aunt, who married Philip the Handsome. And then her son's the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V, and then Mary wed Charles V's son, who is Philip II of Spain.
Yes, we all love a bit of family dynamic, don't
Yes,
we?
how exciting.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda. Whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch, find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
But
And
yes, but what's interesting actually, if we go back to the English coins, Philip's only on the shillings and the sixpence.
so the lower
He's not on,
currencies.
well, sort of the mid tier. He's not on
Okay.
any of the gold coinage. So he's not on any of the coins where bankers and aristocrats would use. He's not on the low coinage. He's not on the pennies or the groats or the half groats. So it's not to do with the common people either. It's the shillings and sixpence, so it's sort of that mid tier.
So with the
So
I
yeah.
noticed on the reverse of the coin that we're talking about that shows Philip and Mary, the coat of arms was different and it looked more like a marital coat of arms. When we
Yes.
look at the gold coins and the pennies and such after Mary's wed marriage to Philip, are those also showing the dual coat of arms, the marital coat of arms, or just those of England?
No, just of England. Is it they don't change. It's only the shillings and sixpence that change.
So she is definitely portrayed as higher on the front of the coin, the obverse of the coin. Her nose is actually above his nose, and even though her head overall is smaller, so it's interesting to see the kind of the bust of the two of them, and she is absolutely higher than he is. It's very subtle, though. It's very subtle. It almost makes the coin
It
look
is.
like it's a bit off, but it's
Yeah.
very subtle.
No, it's very subtle. It's this whole marriage dynamic is crazy. We've always been told, oh, as soon as Philip comes, he then takes charge. Well,
Yes.
that's it's complete false. It's, they had certain statutes and acts which stopped him politically from gaining power in England. So we thought, oh, maybe he was just put on there just to please him. Philip wouldn't know what I've seen. Well, he would might have seen some of the coins, but he wouldn't have seen other things. The fact that they're trying to work out how do we present a dual monarchy in England. Obviously, Spain are very used to it. They accept it fully. But England is, how can a woman be in charge of her husband? But she's a queen, not a king. Well,
And it
Mary's
seems
a
like
king and a
they,
queen.
yes, she is a king and a queen. And I think we see that also with her sister Elizabeth when she becomes the monarch. She's king and slash queen. Could you tell us more about the gold coins that would have been seen by the aristocracy after that were issued
Yes.
after her marriage to Philip?
So this is one of the coins that they would have seen. Golden Rile. You can see Mary's in the center. She's on a boat. So the boat is England. She's the captain. She's holding the sword of a justice. She's the rightful ruler. Again, she's wearing that large crown, loose hair, showing her virginity. She's a maiden queen. And you see the guess it's flag, which
Yeah.
says M. So it's, it's, I'm not quite sure what the correct terminology is, so please forgive me.
It's
So yes,
okay.
the flag is of M. When they she marries Philip, again, obviously Philip's name is included, so it'll be Philip and Maria, not just Maria, and it's a P and an M. So his
Okay.
initial was on it, but his face is his figure is not on it.
And this coin is similar to one that her father had issue. Isn't this boat motif that's been seen
Yes,
before? Okay.
it's a very common her brother had it, her father had it, I think even her great her grandfather and great grandfather had it. So it's it's a usual iconography,
And a
but
couple
it's
more
obviously
inter. Oh.
important because it's of she's a woman. She's a
Yes.
woman leading the ship. She's the savior, she's the captain steering it through choppy waters, which is obviously completely unique in England.
Yes. And I'm seeing a couple more details just for our listeners. There's also a Tudor rose at the bottom of the ship. It's kind of a U shape, and the sails are up. She's holding the arms of England as a shield in her left hand. And then on the reverse, it looks like a Tudor rose. And then maybe I'm stretching a little bit, but are those rays, might those harken back to her Yorkist grandmother? Maybe.
Maybe. I
Or
never
maybe I'm
really thought
stretching
about
it.
that. Yes. Oh,
Yeah.
I always saw it as a son. So yes,
It
the
could
three
be a
sons of
son
York,
too.
maybe,
Yeah. And then there's crowns over the lions of England, and then there's
over
little
lines
fleurs de
and
lis. Yeah. Okay.
yes, a
And then
bit.
so this is before she was married.
So this is dated 1553, and then after she's married, which is again after 1554, Philip's included. With only his name and his initial P,
Okay.
his facial features are not on it at all.
Okay. Turning to her seals now, how many did she have in her reign, during her reign?
Well, now this this is well, this is where I'm sort of putting my neck out on the line. So yes, I mean we're very used to seeing just a great seal, which was the prominent seal in all royal documents. In terms of the Great Seal, she definitely had two. One in 1553, well, 1554 it was finally made. Then it changed in 15. Well, discussions started happening in 1555 about needing a new seal to include the king. It's not until 1556 the Privy Council decide to actually start making this new seal. The earliest seal I found with this new depiction is at the end of 1556, early 1557. However, there is a drawing in the British Museum of another seal in 1558. Now, a lot of people, they used to think it was of Elizabeth, but you can clearly see the facial features, the fact that she's wearing a tall cross, which is the same as in the Jewish depictions. She's also wearing what some people used to say is La Peregrina, which is this famous Spanish pearl in her Antonius Moore portrait, and the pendant. I call it the Spanish pendant because it's a lot more confusing of what the actual jewel is. But you can clearly see it's Mary. Now, if this date is correct, she had three great seals, one before her marriage, one during her marriage. And then one at the end of her reign. Well, what ended up being the end of her reign. Now, by 1558, Philip had left her. He wasn't coming back to England anytime soon. Was this her returning back to a sole monarchy, so to speak, by her just being presented on her own?
So we know that there were at least two seals. There was one before she was married, and then there was one when she was married. Were there any other great seals that were commissioned by Mary?
Yes, there was. So there's this drawing in the British Museum, dated 1558. And as you can see, Philip's gone. What's happened? What's going on here? So, for your viewers, Mary's in the centre. There's these lovely Roman or Greek pillars behind her. She's holding the sceptre, the orb. We know it is Mary because she's wearing the famous cross, which is seen in Hans Jewell's portraits. And also the famous diamond and pearl pendant, seen in Antonius Moore's portraits. And the gown is obviously, it's the same, it's the same woman. But either side of her are sphinxes. Now, this is, it's extraordinary, this image. It really is. It screams of a Roman goddess or a, Greek goddess to me. It's absolutely remarkable. So why is Philip not included? I mean, my theory is that this seal was commissioned in the last year of her reign. Obviously, no one knew at that time it would be her last year. But by this point, Philip's no longer in England. There's a very little chance of him coming back. This is Mary trying to take back control, to squash those fears of, people thinking Philip's now taken over the government. Well, he hasn't. He never did. It's all been Mary. Obviously, Philip's helped because, it's a partnership. They're a dual monarchy. Where she may be struggling with something, he's helped her. He's obviously the warrior. That's why he's off in Spain at the minute. He's in the middle of battling the French. This is Mary taking back control on these seals. And as I've said before, these seals are present in most legal documents concerning the crown. This is one of the few images of the monarch which would go to more public spaces than coins.
Was this originally
So,
thought to be Elizabeth?
yes. So originally, everyone thought it was Elizabeth because it does look similar to Elizabethan seals, the
Yes.
first design anyway. But we know it's Mary because of these jewels
Well, and
and the
her hair
Elizabeth
is up
seals.
too, right?
Yes, it is.
Was
Exactly.
were what I think I am by no means knowledgeable about seals, but do we know if Elizabeth's first seal of her hair was up or down?
It was down.
Okay, so
As far
this
as I'm
would show
aware,
then that
I'm in
she's
the middle of
married.
just double checking, but it does look like it's down, but it's
Okay.
the same sort of image.
And when a woman wears her hair up, that shows that she's married, correct?
She's married, exactly.
Okay, so this still shows that she's
That's the
married to
general thought.
Philip, but he's just
Yeah,
removed. Okay.
exactly. And we also know it's not Elizabeth because Elizabeth's seals don't have these jewels. But it's just absolutely extraordinary because, I mean, we always thought, oh, maybe they never designed it or it was never used. How do you explain this seal here? It looks
So
very similar.
we're looking at what I am going to describe as a wax matrix. I don't know that that's the proper term, but it does look very similar. It is very distorted by age, but it does look very similar from what details are visible.
Now, originally we thought it was Elizabeth's seal, because that would make sense. But there is a cross in the center. So, I mean, there's no way of proving it one way or the other if it is Mary. But if it is, then we know this seal was made. And if the seal was made, then we have to rely on that jewelry. And it means that Mary knew exactly what she was doing. Or at least the government knew what they were doing. They were portraying their sovereign queen as a sole queen once again. Philip's tried to have a child of her. He's failed in that duty. Because obviously, we have to remember, it wasn't just her failure. It was Philip's failure. He hadn't produced a son. That's the only reason he came in the first place. And he's failed in that.
And
So I think, yes, so this,
when we think of Mary's
the government.
father, of course, that was his great failure, was it took him a really long time to produce a son, and he blamed that on his wives for quite some time until Jane came along. But I wonder if that also maybe made Mary uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, it probably did, because we know how much she wanted a child. And there is this whole other aspect of her. We always think she's depressed, gloomy, like I said previously, bloody, unemotional. Well, she was actually the one of the most kindest of all Tudor monarchs. She was accused of being weak because she was so merciful. And there's accounts of her visiting the poor people. There's a famous account by one of her ladies in waiting, Jane Dormer, who say that when she was visiting Cardinal Reginald Pole in one of his palaces in Croydon, Mary and her ladies in waiting went round the poor people in disguise, so they didn't know she was the queen. They just thought she was a lady in waiting, and they visited this poor family. And they shared a meal, so we can imagine what she was eating, porridge or whatever, stew. And she asked this guy who worked for the court, oh, how are times? How's your family? And he said, oh, yes, no, they're very well, madam. But the Queen's men haven't paid me. And I think it had been about a month or 2 months he hadn't been paid. So she questioned him. She said, is this true? Will you tell me? If it is, I'll go and talk to the Queen on your behalf and come back tomorrow, come to the palace tomorrow, and you will be paid. Anyway, she leaves the household and she goes to the court and she demands to see the person in charge of paying these people. And she really does. I mean, that is the one time she does become a monster because she bites his head off. She says, why haven't you paid these people? They're my loyal, they're loyal subjects who have done a good day's work and you have not paid them. And then the guy, he quivers. He says, oh, I'm so sorry, Your Majesty. I'm so sorry. It will be rectified. And she says, make sure it is if you still want a position tomorrow morning. Anyway, she leaves. And the guy then talks to Jane Dormer and says, how did she know that? How did she know that we hadn't paid him? Well, she asked him.
Oh my
You know,
gosh.
it's these silly little stories which
Yeah.
a lot of people don't know about. And every time she visited poor people, it's been recorded that she offered apprenticeships to the children of those poor families. And it wasn't just boys, it was also for girls.
What are some other surprising things that you learned about Mary as a person while you've worked on her iconography?
Oh, surprising.
Or
I think just,
unexpected?
yeah. It's just how kind she was. You know, she was very much like her mother. I mean, it's why people loved her. You know, there's this whole idea that we think, oh, in the last year, everyone hated her because of the burn-ins, and the religious policy, and everyone sighed a great relief when she passed. Well, that's not accurate at all, you know. In even recent memory of the late Queen's passing, it is a shock. When your monarch is no longer there, especially for the Catholics at this time, they knew what was going to happen afterwards. And their one chance of salvation, it wasn't her fault, but she didn't produce that needed heir to stabilize the Catholic agenda. And there's lots of poems written after, at the time of her death, saying that, she was the virgin of virgins, she was the mother of her people, she was. She was just a wonderful, kind person, which we can't really say for a lot of other Tudors, really. How many visited the poor? I'm no Elizabethan expert by any chance, but I don't know how many times she visited poor people without them knowing. There's one thing having a walkabout or going on procession and people knowing it's you, but how many times did she do that without them knowing it was her? Because Mary never told anyone when she visited these poor people that it was her. It was all done in disguise. So I sort of, she sort of had the same sort of humor as her father, really, in dressing up and pretending to be someone else. So yeah, it's just how kind she was. That was probably the biggest learning curve for me so far.
Is there anything else that you'd like to tell us about your research?
Yes, so obviously we don't just, I mean, I don't just look at English portraiture and English iconography. I also look at foreign portraits and foreign images of her, because a lot of people seem to forget she wasn't just Queen of England. She was Queen of Spain,
Yes.
Naples, Jerusalem, France, technically, all the Spanish territories after she married Philip.
Didn't Charles V elevate Philip to have his own kingdom so that he would match her in status? I think he gave him Sicily and Naples before they married. Is that right?
Yes, so the night before he gave Naples and Jerusalem and Sicily because they couldn't bear have him be a prince marrying a queen. Plus, it was also to help Mary because Mary was very much she can't marry beneath herself.
Yes.
So if a queen marries a king, it's fine. If a queen marries a prince, maybe, it's that whole fear. But no, so there were three windows. Well, two windows I want to discuss today. In the Low Countries, so Philip's territories. And it's, again, it's images of the queen we don't really talk about.
And the Low
Because
Countries
obviously,
are
she
modern
was
day
queen of those.
Belgium and Netherlands, right? Modern Belgium and modern, ne
Yes, yes.
loosely speaking, modern day Belgium and Netherlands. Okay. So
Yeah,
they're
and
in the Low
that area.
Countries.
Yeah, so this window in Antwerp, created in 1556. No, yes, 1556, 1557. So it's obviously of the royal couple.
And it's very, very
If you
colorful. So it's
see,
a stained glass window in a church, I would assume, right?
yes, it's a stained glass window in the cathedral in Antwerp.
Okay.
So you know, it's the main church of that cathedral, and it's, you know, it's a miracle it's survived, really.
Well, because there
But you
was
can
that
see, you know, Philip
iconoclasm in the
and
1560s, right? In the Low Countries. So in the 1560s, there was an
yes.
iconoclasm, which means a destruction of religious images and a lot of churches to be very broad about it. A lot of churches were
Churches
their
were.
altars and their windows and their items were completely destroyed during this iconoclasm.
So if we take a quick look at the image of Mary and Philip, because obviously, you know, they're both together in this image. You see, Mary is with the Virgin Mary, not only to reference her namesake, but also, you know, they want that child. They, you know, the Virgin is blessing Mary, hoping for this child to occur. And you can see, you know, the crowns are very different to the English ones. You know, they are very imperial. You know, they're very Habsburg. And we know this is on Mary because it's her coat of arms are on the cloth which she's kneeling on. But yes, no, this is one of, you know, those which is, you know, of her. Because obviously, you know, those in the Low Countries wouldn't have seen her in the flesh. They wouldn't ha they may have seen paintings, may have seen coins. You know, there was a coin in Flanders with the couple, but Spanish coins usually don't have the image of the monarch, so they wouldn't Spanish wouldn't have seen her. But this window, designed in 1557 by the Cravath brothers, it's an image which you don't normally look at. We don't normally think of Mary in this way. You know, it's yes, it's not lifelike. Why is it not lifelike? You know, they had access to these images of her. Why didn't they use Antoninus Moore designs? Why didn't they use Hans Juif's designs? We don't know. So it's sort of more of an allegorical Mary. It's sort of her as this beauty, as this well, obviously the wife of Philip, but also an independent sovereign. You know, she wears, I believe there is a medal of her wearing a garter. Now, obviously she didn't wear the garter in real life, but it's to show that she it's her chivalric order. Well, Philip wears the Order of the Golden Fleece. You know, she's wearing the gold, she's wearing the blue. She's wearing as much ermine as her husband. And
And
again,
is
they wear equal crowns.
this is another stained glass window, correct?
Yes.
And
Yes. So
where?
this is in Gouda,
Okay.
Gouda, sorry. So yes, it's all they're all quite close together, all in the Low Countries. You know, it's so you do have to wonder why weren't there any made in England? You know, I mean, there was a famous window at Hampton Court Palace with her as a princess. But sadly, that hasn't survived. Only a very brief sketch has survived. But obviously, that was before she was queen. So the Gouda window was created primarily because there was a fire a few years before, and they had to replace it. And Philip and Mary both commissioned this window as a joint project. So you know they must have been involved somewhere. But yeah, no, this is just, you know, another image of the queen that we don't really talk about. We don't, you know, a lot of people probably don't know about it. And it's extraordinary. It really is.
Well, thank you for sharing all these, talking about the coins and the great seals and these stained glass windows in the Low Countries, Belgium and the Netherlands. And I'm sure we could talk for much, much longer because this is an absolutely fascinating subject. But I wanted to thank you for coming today. And how can people get in touch with you?
Yes, yeah, so probably the easiest way is on Twitter, Peace to Phil, I think. But yeah, no, if you want anything about Mary, Twitter's probably the best bet. Or just, you know, listen to my other podcasts, which are available on the usual platforms. But yes, no, it's been an honor. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you again. And this is Heather Darcy with Tudor's Dynasty. And Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Tudors Dynasty Podcast. You can follow and support the Tudors Dynasty Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon at Tudors Dynasty.